understanding. The Lord began to minister to me and just gave me a brief vision. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situations are, but I do believe that the enemy is trying to wear us out. He's trying to tire out the people of God, and he's throwing his kamikaze pallets at us, hopefully to bring us down and to destroy our life, our faith. The Bible is clear in John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But God says, but I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. No matter what the enemy is throwing at us, no matter what chaos he's trying to come up with, you need to know that you have to stand on the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away. But what does the Bible say? But my word will stand forever. I'm telling you, believers, as we look around, all the calamity that's going on, all the tragedy, all of the terrorist attacks that's going on. You know, we get through one, and just as soon as we get our minds digest over that, there's something else. And I'm telling you, believers, if you don't hold on to the word of the Lord, you will not be able to stand in this hour, because the enemy is coming at us. When the enemy rushes in, the Bible says, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, according to Isaiah 55 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard again. We got the word of the Lord. Yes. And something God showed me this morning as I was praying, he just gave me a quick vision or just a glance of something. And Elder Gaither right there, what do you have in your hand? The Bible, the word of God. And God showed me something. God says, when I deliver that word, I want you to hold on to it. I want you, some of you don't understand, God has delivered a word to you, a promise to you. You have to hold on to it. You have to hold on to it. The enemy is trying to get you to let it go. You can't let it go. I'm talking to somebody because the Lord gave that to me this morning. I was in prayer and the Lord showed me, you're God, bring the word. This is what God is doing now. He brings the word, his sacred word, his holy word, his covenant word, the word that cannot be broke, the covenant that cannot be broken. When he delivers that word, God wants you then to hold on to it. You keep this word because your life depends on it. And I'm telling you what's going on now. The enemy is trying to get you to leave this word. But you have to secure it, because your life depends on this. That's why so much chaos is going on in some of your lives, because he's hoping that you are going to let this go. I know I'm talking to somebody. He doesn't want you to hold on to this. In fact, he wants you to let it go. He wants you to start compromising. Because let me tell you something. If you don't hold on to the word of the Lord, God cannot bring to pass what he declared over your life. Because he can only bring to pass what you are willing to keep. Let me say it another way. He can only bring it to pass what you're willing to believe by faith. Amen. So if you don't line your faith up with what he told you, then he can't fulfill what he told you. And the enemy knows that. So he tries everything to get you to let it go. You got to hold on to this word. As simple as that, he told me this morning, he showed me in a vision of how he gives his people the word, his promise, and he wants us to secure it. Jeremiah chapter 1, I think it's around verse 12, he says, I hasten my word to perform it. I watch over my word to perform it, to fulfill it. I think the Amplified says, I actively watch over my word to fulfill it. Actively watch over it. So when God gives us a word, He is watching over what He gave us. And He wants you to hold on to it. And it doesn't matter what's going on. You have to keep this word and you got to secure it. And though the winds of adversity may be blowing in your life, you have to keep this word secure. I don't care what road you are traveling, you got to hold on to it. You know, and as you're going down certain roads, people will start pulling at you. The devil will start trying to take it. Pull at me, sister. Try to take this. Try to take it. Yeah, yeah. Try to take it. See. But you got to keep it moving. Try to take this word. Look at that. I'm just telling you. Situations will try to take the word from you. But you got to hold on to this word. The Bible said, and having done all to stand, you got to keep on standing. And you can't stand alone. You got to stand with the word. If you ever played sports and you know running backs, a good running back is only as good as he held on to the ball. He can be the fastest guy on the field, but if he can't hold on to the ball, he cannot advance his team. So as you're going through tough times and, you know, trying to get through tight places sometimes, you know, oh God, you got to hold on to that word. You know, cause there are people, you know, as you're going through, try to grab it now. You know, come on, try to grab it. Come on. You got to hold on to that word. Pull off of there and get on out of there. I can't promise you, you won't have to go through something tight, but hold on to the word while you're going through it. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. That you may be able to withstand. And having done all to stand, keep on standing. Keep on standing. Come on, that devil keep coming, but keep on standing. Yeah, keep on standing. Yeah, I may be knocked around, but I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to do what I got to do. He's trying to get this word, but you ain't going to get this word. My life depends on it. Hold on to the word. Tell somebody, hold on to the word. Yeah. You may come out stuffed up, but as long as I got the word, I'm going to be all right. I'm breathing hard because I've been in a battle, but I still got the word. Yeah. Stuff might not be right on me right now, but I still got the word. Don't worry about your hairdo. Come on, somebody. Don't worry about your nails. Keep the word. Man, he wore me out, but I still got the word. Come on, somebody. There's some days and you say, Lord, God, how am I going to get through this? And God said, I got you. My grace is sufficient. Just hold on to what I said. Trying to wear you out. Trying to wear you down. But I got the word. I got the word. I got, yeah, you know what I'm doing now. Because a good running back, when he's coming through the hole, he ain't coming like that. He's... You ain't going to get me. I may go down, but you ain't going to get this ball. Yeah, you may bump me. I may fall to the ground, but I'm going to fall with the word. Yeah. When it's all said and done, I'm going to have the word in my hand. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Jesus. We are giving up too easy. And we're letting the enemy take what belongs to us. If he takes this word, that means all of the promises that are associated with this word that God gave you, not him, gave you, that means he keeps your promise. That means he's got everything that belongs to you stored up in his house. Somebody say the devil is a lie. That's why sometimes your preachers say, and we tell the devil, you got to give back everything that you stole. And many times it ain't that he stole it. You let him take it. Because the pressure broke you down. The situation broke your resolve until you let it go. You fumble the word. Didn't have to take it. He just knows that if I put enough heat on you, you're going to stop believing what God said. God says, I'm going to supply your needs, but so much heat's been on you until you stop believing and you just let it go. You're a troubled person if you think you can do battle without this word. You have been deceived if you think you can win this war in your flesh. I don't care what it looks like. My brother, my sister, don't let this word go. If it is a God word, if it is a covenant word from God, you have to hold on to that word because your destiny depends on it. I can't promise you the winds of adversity won't blow in your life. In fact, I can promise you they probably will. But if you got the word, you will keep on standing. Bible said about Joseph in, I think it's in Psalms 105. It says, until the promise or the word was fulfilled, the word tried him. It tested him. The very dream that God gave him, that turned around and became his test. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you got to go through. You got to go through. You got to go. But one thing about it, Joseph didn't give up on that word. Amen. You know, he may have spoke prematurely sometimes, but he kept believing God. Yeah. And you know, he did end up in the palace. Yes. You got to hold on to the word. Yeah. I got a lot of people in here that you've been under persecution and pressure and stress. You don't have to raise your hand. I can see you by the Spirit. Yeah, you've been going through some things. Warring in the spirit on every side. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, God said, you got to hold on to the word. You don't have anything else now. Because if you look at this world now, everything is shaking around us. Whew. Except the Lord build the house. They that build, they labor in vain. And then it goes on to say, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman is watching in vain. In other words, the guards are just watching in vain. Because if God doesn't keep us, please hear me by the Spirit. It is vitally important that we hold on to the word of God. That we do not find ourselves in a compromising situation. Because the only person that can cover us now is God. Our nation will find that out pretty soon. The people around the globe are going to find that out pretty soon. That thank God for the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation. Thank God for Homeland Security. Thank God for the local police. Thank God for the state police. But at the end of the day, it's not enough of men and women that put their life in harm's way to keep us safe. Amen. If they could, God wouldn't say, if God doesn't keep the city, the watchman. It ain't about the God. Thank God for the God, but there's an angel behind the God that's really keeping us. So I want you to know something, people of God. Don't let CNN shake you. Don't let the local news channels shake you. You got to know in whom you believe in this day and time. Tell somebody, hold on to the word. You got to hold on to the word. God is my helper, and I will not fear what men can do to me. So that means if I'm on an assignment for God, yes, I'm getting on the plane. If I'm on assignment for God, I'm going to where I'm supposed to go. And I cannot worry about terrorist attacks. I cannot worry about what might happen to me. That's why you got to hold on to the word of the Lord. Because if something happens, it's only because God has permitted it to happen in my life. But the great news is to be absent from the body. Yeah. I'm going to be with them here, or I'm going to be with them up there. But I'm still going to be with them, devil. Can't no devil in hell stop you from your relationship with God if you stay locked into the word. And I'm going to hold on to the word. I have nothing else to hold on to. Isn't it strange how God has the people of God right where he wants them now? Everything else, we were holding on to a whole lot of other things, weren't we? And now because of the winds of adversity have been blowing, all of a sudden now, you're finding out those things are not even secure in your life any longer. And the Lord would just arrest me this morning and tell me to tell the people of God, hold on to my word. Hold on to my word. He didn't say hold on to your credit card. He didn't say hold on to your boo. He didn't say, you know, because some of that stuff, all that stuff is kind of fleeting. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna mess with that, but you know what I'm talking about. But at the end of the day, he says, hold on to my word. People come and people go. Money come and money go. So many things happen. But the word, we got to hold on to that. We got to hold on to the promise of God, because the promises of God are not dictated by what's around us or what's going on. That's why I take solace and confidence in knowing that this God is still able to bring about what he promised me. What is Philippians 1 and I think it's around 1 and 6. And being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work, somebody say a good work, in me will perform it. In other words, he will complete it. It means complete or execute. He's going to execute what he said in my life. And it has nothing to do with what's going on in our society, our culture, our economy. When God has told you something, hold on to the word. Hold on to it. Because if you keep it, God will fulfill it. You can tweet that too. If you keep it, he will fulfill it. But if you release it, he won't fulfill it because you don't believe it. God says, show me your faith and I'll show you my fulfillment. That's why everything else doesn't matter. I'm holding on to my word. I'm holding on to my word. I'm holding on to my word. Because there's coming a day when the word is going to be scarce. The word could be outlawed. They're already telling preachers, I'm listening to some of the leaders, and they was back and forth emailing about what's going on in Texas, and they're saying, hey, pastor, we want to see your sermon before you preach it. Somebody say the devil is a liar. You ain't going to be scrutinizing my stuff. And even if you do scrutinize it, guess what? There's only one way whereby men can be saved, and the name is Jesus. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Now you can say whatever. You can put all the laws in there. I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm like Peter. I don't know what you're talking about, but I ain't going to get in trouble with God. I'd rather be in trouble with y'all. Throw me in jail, but I'm going to preach Jesus. Jesus is still Lord. Somebody say Jesus is still Lord. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. That's why we got to hold on to the word. And if they take your Bible, you got to have enough word in you now. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You got to get the word inside of you now. This is no time to be walking around not understanding what the word of the Lord says. So if they say, hey, give me your Bible, you can take my Bible, but you can't take what's inside of me. Oh, yeah, it's in my spirit. It's in my spirit. God is God. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He is who is, who was, and who is to come. The Almighty. I got the word in me. I got the word in me. Oh, God. So if they take the physical word, you can't take the spiritual word. You might take my Bible, but you can't take that spirit that's inside of me. I've got that word in me. And when you got that word in you, you can keep on standing. People may put you in prison, but guess what? They can't lock down what's inside of you. Come on, somebody. They can put something over your mouth, but they can't stop you praising on the inside. They may lock down your hands and your feet. They may put blinders on your eyes and tape over your mouth. But on the inside, I'm still praising God. Because God knows a praise. It ain't always in my jerking. It's on the inside. Yes, lock me down, but I'll keep on praising them. I'll be praising them with my eyes. Glory, glory, glory. I'll blink. Every blink is a glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory. Oh, God. Don't get me started. You got to have a reservoir of the word of God on the inside now. Devil gonna lock me down. I'm holding on to the word. I'm holding on to the word. Comes a day when you may not have a prayer partner that you can get to. You might not be able to touch your person that you are so accustomed to talking with. That's why you got to depend on the word. You got to depend on the word. And I understand as we're growing up, you know, we lean on people. But there comes a point in time in your life where you got to stop leaning on people and you got to lean on the word of the Lord. You got to lean on the word of the Lord. Because if God takes your brother and your sister, you got to know them for yourself. You just got to know them for yourself. Can I just take a little side note and tell you this? This is something I was going to say out of Matthew chapter 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says this in terms of even understanding that you got to hold on to the word. Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, I think it's around verse 13. It says, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be a going that way. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life and few there be that find it. I'm going to tell you something, saints. You have to hold on to this word so that you will stay on the road that leads through the straight gate to eternal life. If you don't hold on to this word, you can find yourself on the wrong road. Come on, somebody. It's not enough to say, I got saved 5 years ago. This is not a once saved, always saved gospel. Yeah, I'm saved. But I got to continue. Jesus said it like this. If you continue in my word, then you are. I'm in the Bible. St. John 8:31, I believe. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. What am I saying to the church? I need to say this because, church, we are in serious times, and I don't know if we are understanding this. You can't walk around with your head in the sand and don't know what time it is. Jesus is coming back. And the signs of the times are all around us. You can see it. You know, this is the beginning of the first birth pains for the woman. Rumors of wars, wars and rumors of war, famine and pestilence all around the globe now. Terrorist attacks everywhere now. The signs are all around us. And you have to know that you are secure in him. You cannot be a person that, yeah, I got saved, but now you are practicing sin and think that you are still on the road that will lead to eternal life. You are not on that road. And you have to ask yourself a very serious question now. Do I really have the word? Because if you got the word, if you were to die right now, there would be no question mark in your mind that I will stand before the Lord in right standing. If you cannot say that emphatically right now, you have to repent and get yourself on the right road. Because tomorrow is not promised. And the only way you're going to walk in confidence and you won't be fearful is you know that your eternal destiny is secure, because I have this word. Amen. And it is hidden in my heart, and I am walking according to this word. If you are not walking according to this word, that means that you are not on the right road. And I know that's heavy. I know that's heavy. But somebody says it's tight, but it's right. Because I don't want anybody to miss heaven. I don't want anybody to miss heaven. I'm more of a faith preacher than anything else. But making no mistake, I'm for holiness. I'm for righteousness. As much as I walk in faith, I'm walking in holiness. And I know God has a standard here. And he goes on to say, in that very, I think around verse 21, he says, "And not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone that says that. "But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Did you notice what he said? He said, there are a lot of people going to say, "Lord, yeah, I know Jesus." You can talk to most people now. You go on Facebook, you know, on the internet, and you hear people, "Yeah, yeah, I know God." You know, like they sat beside God in the morning. "Yeah, I know God. You saved? Yeah, I'm saved." Don't have a clue what salvation really is and what it really means to be saved. Because you have diminished the requirements down to your requirements. He says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of God." Then he goes on to say, "Many in that day shall say, didn't I prophesy in your name, Lord? In your name, didn't I cast out devils?" What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean I don't know you? You know, "I did wonderful works in your name." Jesus says, "No, no, 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 no. Can I tell some of you right now? Your church attendance does not guarantee you a place in heaven. Can I tell those that are part of the fivefold? Your ministry gift does not guarantee you a place in heaven. Anybody in the body of Christ that's serving in any capacity, that doesn't give you a green ticket, a right into the kingdom. No. He says, "He that doeth the will of my Father," which means the only thing that guarantees us is, yes, our confession of Romans 10. "If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Okay, that's a confession. And then what follows that is corresponding obedience. You can't have a confession and then disobey, because he said, "No, no, no. If you love me, you're going to obey me." That's what the word says. Because a lot of people say, "Yeah, I know him. Yeah, I made a confession." There's a lot of people come up here, you know, they make a confession, then they go right back and do what they want to do. No, 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 no. When it's really been done right and it's in your heart, you're going to change your life. Because the Holy Spirit will arrest you and begin to deal with your spirit. When I said yes to him, guess what? I didn't go back to the club. And I can't get no help now. When I said yes to him, stuff started falling off. Now I understand it might be a gradual thing at times, but they'll reach a point where all of that old stuff that I used to do, I don't do it anymore. In fact, it don't even look like me anymore. You ever seen people and say, "I can't believe you used to be there"? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You go back in the 80s and check Archie out. I was there. But the glorious gospel does something. That's the miracle of the gospel, how it can take somebody that used to be living foul and now you're walking in righteousness, and people, you don't even look like what you came out of. It's not about your gift. You look at these elders, you look at your pastors and co-pastors, and you see our collars now. But my God, if you only knew our life. Come on, somebody. You like, really? You were that jacked up? But the beauty is, if we were that jacked up and he turned us around until you can't even really believe it in your mind, what he would do for you. It's not about your gift. It's not about your service. He says, no, 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 that's not going to get you in. That's not going to get you in. He said, because on that day, he says, I'm going to say to you, or I'm professing to you. This is what he says. I never knew you. I never knew you. What do you mean? I never knew you. Then he says, depart from me. You that work iniquity. I say it like that, workers of iniquity, which means people that habitually violate the word of God. See, hear me by the Spirit. I am not talking about the hiccup that we all have sometimes. He's already put that in the word. He made provision. If you confess your faults, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. So, you know, sometimes we all have hiccups. Somebody say amen. Let me see your hand. So we ain't talking about that. We're talking about you willingly and knowingly know what he's saying and you continue to do it. And you have no problem coming in here, lifting up your hands and giving God praise. You perpetrate on Sunday while you club on Friday. Come on. And you have casual sex is what you call it. The Bible calls it fornication. And I ain't getting no help right now. Let me get my hanky out. Because God, y'all done shut me down now. You know, casual sex and, you know, and sexing or texting. What do y'all call it now? Yeah, that's what. Oh, see, so y'all know about that. Yeah, you know, just do. You know, with the iPhones now. Oh yeah. And everybody's getting it on. Let's get it on. Oh, baby. Everybody's doing it. You follow? Living foul. It's wrong. And as comical as it may sound, God says this is a serious time for the church. Do you know that marriage is on an all-time low in terms of people getting married? But here's the flip side of it. People cohabitating is on an all-time high. So people no longer get married, they just live together. And they doing it in the church. Amen. Oh, y'all going to shout me down now, because I mean, we're getting real quiet now. We're getting real quiet. And I know I'm walking tall, but help me. Don't you want somebody that's going to tell you truth? You don't want to wake up and say, Lord, why didn't the preacher tell me that I could not do that? Why didn't he just talk about sin that I might have gotten myself together and got convicted? You know, I don't want to fill a church up with people who just, you know, they're lukewarm and they're okay and everything's okay and the church packed out. When we pack it out, we want to pack it out because the glory of the Lord is here. The gospel of righteousness is being preached and people are getting delivered. We ain't got time to be playing around now. If it's not right, get it right. If you know you're living foul, get it right. Just get it right. Say, God, forgive me. God is merciful. That's why he sent his son. That he would die for our sins. And can I talk to the young people for a moment? Let me tell you something. It used to be a time that the older people would die before the young people. That ain't necessarily true now. Young people are dying just as quick as old people. Nobody's safe except you get under the blood. That's why Moses told them in the Old Testament when they were coming out of Egypt, he says, put the blood across your doorpost because the death angel is moving through now. But the only way you're going to escape, it's not going to escape because you're going to say, you know, I'm with Moses. I'm one of the children of Israel. He said, no, 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 that's not going to get it. Your confession is not going to get it. You've got to be under the blood. You got to be washed in the blood. Amen. Young people, you're not going to escape because your mother and your daddy are saved. Because grandma speaks in tongues and she lays hands on you. That's not going to get it. You're going to have to say, Lord, forgive me. I confess I'm a sinner. That's the only thing. Now, if I'm scaring you, I'm okay with that today. That's good. Because the truth is, what got me in this thing first, I was scared. Somebody say scared. Yeah, I was scared. I didn't want to go to hell. And if that's what it takes initially, that's good. But when you walk with God long enough, revelation comes in. I'm not in this thing because I'm scared. I'm in this thing because I love him. I got a revelation because of how much he loved me. Who would give his only begotten son for somebody that's wretched and jacked up and messed up like us? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's not coming to condemn us young people or old people. He's coming to deliver us from eternal damnation. God did not create hell, come on, for humanity. That was created for the devil and his demons, period. But if we willfully decide to walk down the path that leads to destruction, that's our destiny. He doesn't send us there. We send ourselves. Amen. It's like you, have you ever been in your car and you got a GPS? And the GPS said, head north. Okay, and you start out heading north. And all of a sudden you decide you're going to take an exit, a detour. And by taking that detour, you're heading south. And you know, and the GPS is saying to you, recalibrate, go to the next corner, U-turn. But you don't listen to it. You just keep heading south. U-turn. Holy Ghost is telling some of y'all, U-turn, and here you still here. Every Sunday you coming in here, U-turn. You go back home and come back here, U-turn. You praise the Lord and then you come back again, U-turn. When are you going to make a U-turn? It's time to make a U-turn. Because the GPS is not wrong. Not this time. Somebody going to say, well, you know, sometimes mine can be wrong. Well, the GPS of the Holy Ghost is never wrong. He said, I will lead you and guide you into all truth. When he tells you to U-turn, make a U-turn. Say, Lord, you're right. Thank you, Jesus. This is the safest place to be. Because when you hold on to the word of the Lord, you guarantee that you will stay on the right path. Anything else is going to take you off the path. The road called straight. He says, straight is the gate. And wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. There are two gates, two roads. Only two roads. Only two roads. There's a road that leads to eternal life and there's a road that leads to eternal damnation. We don't like to use the word, it's called hell. And we don't preach about that much because people feel like, you know, that's too insensitive. That's too tough. But it's the truth. It's truth. And the truth will set you free. It's only two roads. It's a road that leads to heaven. It's a road that leads to hell. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We come out of our mother's womb in sin. Amen. So somebody told me, if you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. You get the revelation of that? Physical death, a physical birth, and then my spiritual birth. Yeah, I'm going to die a physical death, but guess what? That's it. That's just translation. Taking me from earth to glory. But if I don't give my life to Christ, I die twice. I die a physical death, and then there's a spiritual death. Spiritual death just simply means separated from God, which means I will be separated from God eternally. Think about that now. Eternity. You can't even rationalize that in your mind, how long eternity is. And how long is forever? You see what I mean? But the truth is, I don't want to be on that side of forever. I want to be on the side of eternal life forever. I don't want to be on the side of, you know, eternal damnation forever. You got to live for God. Hold on to the word. Get on the right road by holding on to the word. And it's just not what you say, it's what you do as well. I want everybody to stand now.